Hi, my name's Pastor Glenn Stevens, and I'd invite you to join me for the next 20 minutes to share with you the most important area in your life and my life about preparing for the future. The Bible is a wonderful book. It's God's plan for us. It's God's message to us. Whenever you get ready to go on a trip, you get things prepared, right? I know my wife will write lists out of things we need to take on vacation or take on a trip, and she wants to make sure that we have everything that we need. We don't want to forget anything. But you know the most important area of preparation is not preparing for a vacation or preparing for a new job or maybe to move into a new house. But the most important preparation is our preparation for eternity. Some would say, well, you know, Pastor, I believe that when a person dies, that's it. You know, there's nothing else that's going to take place. But my friend, the Bible tells us something totally different. In fact, in John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God wants us to know where we're going to spend eternity. Let me share with you just some simple thoughts. What first must I know about preparing for the future? Well, first, there's man's need. Man needs to be saved. Now, you may have heard that term before, but let me share with you what the Bible says about it. We have had all kinds of people, politicians, actors, people of prominence, talk about being a Christian or being saved. And just because someone claims to be a Christian or be saved doesn't make them one. For example, I could claim to be a nuclear physicist. It doesn't make me one. I could claim to be an electrician, but it doesn't make me one. And so, just because someone claims to be a Christian or be saved doesn't make them one. It's have they followed the Bible way of salvation. Now again, man's need. Man needs to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why does man need to be saved? Well, because man had a wonderful beginning. As we notice in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, God made man in his image. But in chapter 3, we find that man sinned. God had told Adam and Eve they could eat of every tree of the garden except for one, and that tree was forbidden to them to eat. Yet Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of that tree. They sinned. They had a free will. God made them perfect. But they succumbed to the temptation of the devil, and they fell. And because of man's sin, because of man's violation of what God had said, man was a sinner. He had gone against a righteous and holy God. And because Adam fell, we're all sinners. A person is born, they're a sinner. It doesn't matter how good a person is, he's still a sinner, or she's still a sinner. The Bible tells in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that we're all sinners. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What is man's need? Man's need is he needs to be saved. He's a sinner. And because he's a sinner, he can't enter into heaven. Well, there's a second thought of this idea of man's need. Not only is he a sinner, not only does he need to be saved, but secondly, he can't save himself. You know, people try a lot of things. In fact, how many churches are there out today that are trying to tell people that if you work good enough, that if you help out in the community and do good to others, that surely God would let you into his heaven? In fact, I've heard some people say, well, you know, when I die, God will weigh my good and my bad, and he'll see I've been pretty good, and he'll let me in. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In fact, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. If you and I could work our way to heaven to be good enough to get to heaven, wouldn't we be something? We could boast of ourselves and how good we are and how that we were able to get into heaven. But my friend, again, it doesn't matter how good you are. You're still a sinner. You see, there's an inability to save yourself. Man needed someone to pay the price for his sin. to make him acceptable with God. Because if his works aren't going to do it, if the fact that he's a church member, if that's not going to do it, and it won't, just because someone has even a religious title or is involved in a church or maybe even has a position in the church, that doesn't make them acceptable with God. And my friend, not only do I need to be saved, not only can I not save myself, the Bible tells us that there's a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Did you notice what the Bible said there? The wages of sin is death. In fact, the Bible tells us a person will spend eternity one of two places, heaven or hell. And hell is not described as a pleasant place. I've heard people say before, well, hell is here on this earth. Or when I get to hell, I'm going to party. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. Luke chapter 16, verses 23 to 26 talks about hell. And a man who went to hell, he was a rich man, but he didn't know Christ. And it says, "In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." We find that there's great torment in hell. This rich man had great thirst and great pain. He wanted to be out of that flame. It was a fire that continued on forever and ever. And the Bible tells us well in the same passage, as he's trying to cry to Father Abraham just to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue. Abraham says, "And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." What we recognize as well, not only is there torment, it's inescapable. When a person is in hell, the decision in life of what to do with Christ is making their future in hell or heaven. And once you're there, you can't change your mind. Some people say, well, you know, I can wait. I can wait till tomorrow. I can wait till next week. But you know, we aren't guaranteed of another day, are we? In fact, the Bible describes our life as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know how it is in the winter time when someone breathes out in the air and they can see their breath. It's just there for a moment. Well, that's how life is, and our life can end so quickly. But we must know our need. Notice, secondly, in this idea of what I must know, not just man's need, but God's provision. God has provided salvation. It's not through some religion. It's not through some action that I can take. But God has provided salvation for us in His Son. A well-familiar verse is John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, here, God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die for our sins. God has provided your salvation through Christ. Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." There's no other way to get to God than through Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Not only do I recognize my need, but I also need to recognize that God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. That may be different than the way you were reared or you were taught about religion. But my friend, it's just what the Bible says. Over and over again, we find that man is a sinner, man has a need, but yet God loved him so much that He provided salvation. God wants to save you. And that's our third thought about His provision. Not only has He provided it, not only is Jesus the only way, but God wants to save you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. I've heard people say, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Well, the reality is because of our sin, and God is a holy God, God cannot allow sin into heaven. So God provided a way for us to have our sin taken care of. Again, it doesn't mean just turning over a new leaf, but as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And not only does God want to save you, but God wants to save you now. The Bible tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God wants to save you, but you're going to have to place your faith and trust in him. So that's man's need. Man has a need because he's a sinner. And not only is man a sinner, but Jesus is the only way of salvation. He wants to save you, and he'll save you now. But then comes the question, what must I do? First, you need to admit you're a sinner. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You need to admit you're a sinner. Any person who wants to come to Christ needs to admit that they're a sinner, that they need a Savior. Are you a sinner? The Bible calls us a sinner, calls me a sinner, calls every man, every woman, every child a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you need to admit you're a sinner. Secondly, you need to believe on him. The Bible tells in James chapter 2 and verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, you and I recognize the devil and the demons. They're not going to heaven, but it says here they believe. Oh, they know there's a God. They used to be with him in heaven, but they're not going to place their faith and trust in him. A person may say, well, I believe in God. I've always believed in him. Wonderful. But that doesn't save you. It's not just believing there's a God or believing that there's Christ, but there's a point in time when a person says, Lord, I believe who you are and I believe what you came to do for me. There's a point in time when a person comes to Christ recognizing they're a sinner and placing their faith and trust in Christ. He died to save us, but we must place our faith and trust in him, believing who he is and what he came to do. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My friend, first, admit you're a sinner. Secondly, believe on him. Thirdly, repent. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Some say, well, I just want a fire escape. I don't want to go to hell. But they're not willing to turn from their sin. They're not willing to confess their sin and let God change their heart. That's necessary for salvation. In fact, once a person trusts Christ their Savior, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a person trusts Christ as their Savior, their life begins to change because God's headed a new direction with them. I've talked to many people, and I'm sure you've seen them as well. They claim to be a Christian, but they don't live anything like what you would imagine a Christian would be or what the Bible says a Christian ought to be. Something is wrong because God said he would change them, and he will, and he does. And when a person says, and maybe this is where you are, you say, well, you know, I walk forward in a church when I was a kid. And so, you know, I got saved. Everything's fine with me and God. But if you're just continuing to live in sin and in the world and have no desire to be in church, no desire to grow, no desire to be around God's people, or no desire to step away from sin, you can stay in all the habits of the world and all the habits of sin. What is it an indication of? That you don't know Christ. You may have had an emotional decision. But true biblical salvation will result in a change. There must be repentance. And then a person must call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you some verses from the book of Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible tells us here, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, do you believe who he is? Not only is he God's Son, but he's God himself. You look through the scripture, the Bible tells us that there's God, there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit. In fact, the book of 1 John says, and these three are one in 1 John chapter 5. The Bible tells us that Jesus is not only God's Son, but He's God Himself, and He came to earth to die for you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, not only do you need to recognize who Jesus is, He's God's Son and He's God Himself, but also believe that God hath raised from the dead. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was killed on the cross. We recognize that time at Easter, when Jesus was put to death on the cross. And why did the people do it? They didn't like His message. But beyond that, it was the plan of God that Jesus Christ would be the sacrifice for man's sin. And Jesus died. That was His whole plan. He came to earth to die so you and I could go to heaven. The sacrifice for sin must be paid. In the Old Testament, they would offer animal sacrifices for the sins of man. Once Jesus Christ came, that was no longer necessary, because Jesus Christ paid the final sacrifice for sins. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a wonderful thought. By placing my faith and trust in Him, recognizing who Jesus is, recognizing that He came to die for me and for my sins, all I have to do is place my faith and trust in Him. The Bible tells us in Romans 9:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then it says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God loves you. God wants you to be saved. But you must call from your heart. It says, "And believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead." It's not just a head knowledge, but truly a recognition from your heart. Recognizing what Jesus came to do and placing your faith and trust in Him, calling on Him, turning from sin, recognizing we don't have to be perfect to come to God. We just need to come, believe who He is, believe what He came to do, and place our faith and trust in Him. Now, what happens after salvation? Well, a person, when they trusted Christ as their Savior, they can know that they're saved. God's not going to take away their salvation. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 27 and following, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Of course, here attesting the fact that Jesus is deity, that Jesus is God Himself, when it finishes, "I and my Father are one." Beyond that, we see in verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Unfortunately, some people today try to teach that you can lose your salvation. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that we can lose our salvation. The Bible teaches us eternal security, that once we've trusted Him, He gives us eternal life, and He'll never take it away. For example, here in verse 29, "No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand." God has us. You need to recognize the fact, if you've trusted Christ your personal Savior, that He saved you, and He saved you for all eternity. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Isn't it amazing here? God wants us to know that we have eternal life. God doesn't want you to be confused or scared. He doesn't want you to be scared of hell. It's real. It is a place that those who have not trusted Christ will spend their eternity. But God doesn't want you to fear, in the sense if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can spend eternity in heaven. Have you trusted Christ? Let me encourage you. I've shared with you these thoughts about how to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, how to know for certain you're going to heaven. How do you do it? Simply come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, "God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner, and I'm placing my faith and trust in You. I believe who Jesus is. He's God, and He came to die for my sins. And He rose again and went back to heaven, and I believe that. And I'm placing my faith and trust in You. I'm turning from my sin. I'm repenting. I don't want to go to hell, and I want You to come into my heart and life and save me and give me eternal life. I'm trusting Christ as my personal Savior." You pray that. God will save you, and then put Christ first. First, trust Christ as your Savior. Then after you've trusted Christ your personal Savior, how important to get in a good, solid Bible-preaching church. Get in the Word of God. Pray. Let God speak to your heart. And then learn what a wonderful joy it is to live the Christian life. It's simple, isn't it? But how important to trust Christ, that you can know for certain when you die, you're going to heaven. If I can be of any spiritual help, please give me a call. And we would like to invite you here to Fellowship Baptist Church. We would invite you to come and learn more about God's Word. I hope you have a great day. Bye-bye.